Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the webinar presentation to spotlight the awards on Spain Fulbright Youth Scholar Program for 2019-2020. So again, if you're seeing this screen, the audio portion of today's presentation has begun. If you're having any difficulties or hearing us or seeing this presentation, please chat in the box and then we'll try to address that. Thank you very much. So, my name is Alfredita Krasnici and I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Analyst here in New York City for the Institute of International Education. And we're honored here to be joined today live from Spain by Ms. Catherine Matos, who is the Program Officer for the Fulbright Commission in Spain. Good evening, Catherine, and welcome. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Good evening.
And also, we are honored to have with us today Dr. Marta Garcia Murillo, who was a Fulbrighter in Spain. Dr. Garcia Murillo, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for your time dedicated to help us in answering all the questions and inspiring Fulbright applicants for this year. So before we start, I just wanted to remind everyone, if you don't have any information about the Fulbright program and a little bit of background. The Fulbright program was established in 1946 by the U.S. Senator J. William Fulbright. The program was initially founded to expand and strengthen the relationship between the people of the United States and other citizens of the rest of the world. The program first started in Burma as a very small program, and it grew over the years. And here we have a photo where we see a Fulbright program from like in 1960s. And then another photo on the right-hand side, we see a recent Fulbright Arctic scholar. So this just shows like the Fulbright has stood the test of time and the legacy continues even after 72 years. The program is funded by the U.S. Department of State, Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and it is administered here in the U.S. by the Institute of International Education, whereas we work in partnerships with the Fulbright commissions overseas, as well as U.S. embassies or posts. So again, we are honored to have a representative of the Fulbright Commission from Spain to help us in answering and talking about all these opportunities in Spain. Just to cover a little bit how big and broad the Fulbright is, it's considered one of the most prestigious programs in the world with the biggest number of recipients. Many world leaders are Fulbright alumni. Like, for example, just some that I know, President of Croatia, Prime Minister of Slovenia, and many others. And if you're selected to do a Fulbright program, you're certainly part of a big family, a great network of successful people. And it is, in a way, considered a one step closer to getting one of these awards. Who knows, maybe even the Nobel Prize. So you can see like how many Fulbrighters have been awarded since 1946, whereas in terms of just the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, we send about 800 scholars per year. And the program participates in partnership with 160 countries. And you can see like how many alumni have received all these, like the Nobel Prize and the Pulitzer Prize and MacArthur Fellows and others. So it's quite a prestigious program, and this is, you know, a very good reason, one of the good reasons to apply for the program. So what is the eligibility for the U.S. Scholar Program? Well, first of all, the most important criteria is to be a U.S. citizen. Because again, this is a program that helps build bridges between the U.S. and other countries. And therefore, all the participants are like U.S. cultural ambassadors to other countries. So think about this as you craft your application, like how you're going to build connections. connections with the local community besides building your connections with the professional community. So the degree is required by the award. Every award is different, and you'll notice that also in the Spain awards, some require PhD or other terminal degrees, and many awards are also open to applicants with a master's and or a professional or academic experience. Besides the academics, the Fulbright program is open to professionals and artists outside the academia with outstanding and substantial accomplishments. So the program has evolved. Initially it started, it was open for academics, but over the years it changed and artists are also welcome to apply. You have to pay attention to the teaching experience as required by the award, as well as the new policies on previous Fulbright grants. Like before, it used to be 5 years of waiting time between the grants. Now it's 2 years of waiting time. So this is also new in the Fulbright world. How to select the right award? This is a very important step as you think about applying for the Fulbright program. First of all, you need to match your expertise and check the experience on the award description as required. Regional experience, if you have it, it can help you and then make also a more competitive application. There are many different awards and many different disciplines offered. Just pay attention to the discipline preferences listed in the award. And why the project important in this case for Spain, and how will Spain or the host institution or even the host country benefit from your project? So there are opportunities for different levels in your career. Just try to match also that requirements as per the award, like there are opportunities for early career, postdoc, or mid-level. So just try to focus and match this the requirements with the award. The Fulbright competition opened for this year in March 2018, and the application deadline is August 1st, 2018. This is for the 2019-2020 competition cycle. Applicants must apply to one specific award in one country, but also multiple countries if there is a choice for that as well. Like Spain offers, for example, the Spain-Greece Joint Teaching Research Award, or Morocco-Spain Joint Teaching Research Award, and later on we'll show you how to run those searches in the catalog of the award. But first of all, I wanted to address some of the questions, like more common, frequently asked questions that we receive about the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program to Spain. I've highlighted some here, like is my discipline represented, and Spain offers very diverse awards, and there are opportunities from scholars in many academic fields, like from art fields to STEM fields. So just try to identify which of the disciplines best match your background. There are like 29 awards offered this year in Spain in all disciplines for junior research and all disciplines senior teaching and research. And then specific disciplines like engineering, we'll show you in a minute like all these specific awards with specific disciplines. In terms of career stage, again, there are opportunities for a different range of scholars. Some awards are specifically designed for early career applicants, and Spain offers for early career applicants. And only there are some opportunities for more senior level of scholars, like all discipline at Universitat Carlos III de Madrid. So if you're interested in these awards but don't have a pre-existing contact at a Spanish institution, we do have resources to help you guide through the application process. Our website includes a page dedicated to letters of invitation and developing contacts abroad. But one of the suggestions shared, there is to consult the Fulbright Scholar Directory. It offers all the information about previous scholars who attended the program and recently in Spain and other countries. So contact information for the Spain Commission is also listed on the catalog of awards, And since we have our friend Catherine here to help us, this is such a good chance to ask any questions if you have. Just type them in the box and we'll answer them later. Many times we get asked if applicants need to be fluent in Spanish. The language requirements vary by award. If the language is required for a teaching activity or research, it will be clearly indicated on the award description. Please discuss this point with your host institution beforehand. Sometimes there is the language proficiency report required to be submitted. So just, when time comes, just pay attention to this as well. Now I would like to invite our friend Catherine to tell us a little bit more and dive into deeper the Spain awards in the catalog of the awards. So we have just selected a few. So Catherine, if you would like to say something about each of the awards, we would appreciate it.
Hello. First of all, what I'd like to do is just give you a general overview of all of our awards. When considering Spain, I think that it's important to understand that a lot of the locations where these awards are placed or at the universities that they're placed at are places that you might not typically visit in Spain. And so as you explore the different options, even if you're not familiar with a certain city in Spain, I invite you to research a little bit and see if that might be an option for you. And remember that when you go to these smaller, less known locations, you're going to find that the environment is very welcoming and very supportive because they are so happy to have specialists from the United States at their universities helping them with their programs. And they're going to be willing to happy to help you with all aspects related to teaching, relating to your research. They're looking for opportunities to research with you, to form agreements with your universities in the United States in the future. And they're also willing to help you to be part of the community, actually living in Spain. So most of the universities you will find that people do speak some degree of English. It will depend a lot on the different programs that are available. But information is included for each award detailing the level of Spanish that you should have in order to be able to adapt to the environment. We always recommend you have some Spanish just so that your day-to-day is easier, but you're not required to be fluent in any case. Also remember, if you're in a lesser known location or a location that is farther to the north or to the south, Spain is a very small country, so you're still going to have the chance to travel to other locations, especially places like Madrid, Barcelona, or the more well-known cities. And finally, remember that when you come to Spain, you also have the possibility to visit other countries through another type of award that we have, that's called the Intercountry Award, where you can participate in conferences invited by other Fulbright commissions that are located in other countries. So also explore that option. I'm not going to go through all of the programs that we have here today. I just wanted you to see the different variety of awards that we have. But I would like to highlight a couple of them. And so, Afrodita, if you wouldn't mind, could you turn to the Economics, Business, or Tourism program at University of Laguna? Thank you. Exactly. Okay, so this first program that I'm highlighting is a university in the Canary Islands. Now, the Canary Islands is an absolute paradise for Europe. In terms of tourism, and that's probably why one of the programs here that they're highlighting is tourism. This award, you would be placed at the Universidad de Laguna. This is in Tenerife. This is a university that is attempting to increase internationalization. They are a large university. They have 23,000 students. It's public. It was created in 1927. And they're well known for research throughout Europe. In fact, one journal in the Netherlands ranked them as the best European university in terms of research cooperation. They're also known for the humanities program. And so you'll find that the quality of the students is quite good, and their programs are considered to be strong. They're looking for visiting professors who will both teach and do research. Here on this web page, you can see the different courses that you would be expected to teach. Now, this will depend on your your field of knowledge. So if you're interested in teaching economics courses, then they have a link to the syllabi of the courses that are within their economics program. Same for business and tourism. Be aware that a lot of these links are in Spanish. Don't let that scare you. The problem is that translating an entire web page is quite difficult sometimes for them. And so what happens is, although the material is in Spanish on their website, when you actually are in contact with the contact person here at this university, they will be able to give you detailed information about what you would be teaching. And so they have all the information there about the kinds of courses that you would teach, and they also would be expect you. Well, they would also expect you to help with research, to present your research in seminars that they have there, and to collaborate in research that they're doing at the university. So that's one example. Another example I think is interesting to highlight would be in the Universidad de Vigo and the Centro de Defensa. There we go. So this is mechanical engineering. Another thing that I urge you to do when you look at the different awards is to actually to explore the courses or the subjects that they're interested in you teaching, because sometimes the names of the degrees are not the same as the names of the degrees in the United States. So if you actually read the award details, you'll find that the courses that you are expected to teach might not be what you would expect, because the degree is a bit different here than it would be in the United States. This is a unique award in that although it's at the Universidad de Vigo, all the students at this Centro Universitario de Defensa are students in the Naval Academy. And so they have about 60 to 70 students per year in each year of the degree program. And these students are doing different degree programs, and one of these degree programs is mechanical engineering. So here, if you look at the courses that they would expect you to teach, it would depend on your profile. So they're giving you examples, automotive design or computer networks. So you can see that there's a lot of differences between the different things that you actually can teach. And then again, here they would also like for you to do research, to present your research at seminars, and to collaborate in research they're doing at the university. So these are just two of the many programs that we have. If you go back to the PowerPoint, Aferida.
So before we just go back to PowerPoint, I just wanted to use this opportunity, since we are on the website, just to show applicants interested in Spain awards, just how to navigate our website. So because there's a lot of information, but it's all user-friendly once you start using and navigating through the catalog of the awards. For example, here, you will find the award requirements on the second tab, and here you will find if a letter invitation is required or, like in this case, it's optional. But again, we'll cover this later in the slides, but we definitely recommend for you to get letters of invitation. So here you will find also contact information of the host institution, the language requirement. What is the applicant profile that they're looking for? Just try to match yourself, your background with all these try to see if you match with these requirements. And then here you will find like how many people will go, it's going to be $1,000, what is the activity, what is the category, so open to all levels of scholars except early career, the degree requirements, application deadline, and each award has a designated program staff, in this case that's me, and you can reach out to me for any questions that you have regarding this particular award. And then here you'll find the award benefits and how, what's the funding, like day-to-day life, and how is that going to be covered, and if you have also dependent tuition allowance, and all this information listed here. And the last tab is the summary and information about Spain and the overview about Spain, and more so you'll find information about the Spanish Fulbright Commission. Another important thing is that when you decide to apply, you just click this button and then it will take you to the application form, which is an online application form, it's called EMBAR. And here you see the, before you do that, the application guidelines, and then it will take you to a checklist we have for, like, if you're doing just teaching awards, you have checklists listed here for everything, all the steps you need to take. And then the research awards the same, and if you're doing a combination of teaching and research awards, you'll find everything here. So this is just for you to find, you know, the overview and how to navigate. And then, again, just here on the home page, we have the Fulbright Scholars Directory that you can search for scholars, and you can also reach out to them if you have any specific questions and if you want to find out how they did in Spain and just share their experience. So, yeah, this is just, you know, in terms of finding out about how to navigate the website. So if we can go back to where we were here and just continue, if you want to talk about the other awards just listed here, you know, so that we have some information, that would be great.
Okay. So another award that's mentioned here is molecular biology or biotechnology. This is at the Universidad de Murcia. Murcia is a province in Spain that you probably are not at all familiar with, or maybe you are. But again, I suggest that you explore websites to see what that area is like, and that will help you to get a better idea of what living in that area would be like. The Molecular Biology or Biotechnology Award is, again, an award that you would be doing both research and teaching. And I strongly suggest that you look at the courses that you would be teaching because, again, they might not be what you expect. So if you see molecular biology, perhaps you're expecting that you'd be teaching courses that would be different in the degree system in the United States compared to in Spain. Pharmaceutical science is one that I especially urge you to look at the catalog of awards and read through because, again, in addition to pharmaceutical knowledge, they're also requesting that you have knowledge in other kinds of subjects that might not be what you expect. Now, this is at the Universidad Autónoma de Madrid. It's a private university. They have about 11,000 students every year. And you'll find the experience teaching at a private university can be quite interesting compared to in a public university. Here in Spain, students at private universities are pampered a lot more than, for example, students at a public university. So, the classes are much smaller. You'll probably have maximum of 20 to 30 students per class, and it will give you a unique teaching experience, even though you're in a large city like Madrid. If you can go to the next slide. There you go. All right. And again, we have awards like this one here at the Universidad Europea de Madrid that combine two fields that you might not expect to be combined, such as aerospace and mechanical engineering, though obviously they have a lot to do with each other. So again, explore the awards to see the different requirements for each thing. This next award at Universidad Carlos III de Madrid is new this year. And as you can see, it's for people with more experience, more teaching experience, but it is for all disciplines. And so if your question is my discipline represented in Spain? Well, yes, because here you have the opportunity to teach in any discipline at the Universidad Carlos III de Madrid. I mentioned a lot about La Universidad Europea, so I'm not going to mention anything else, but you can explore these different awards. And again, the same thing with computer science at the Universidad de Murcia. Data science at the Universidad Politécnica de Madrid is quite interesting because big data and everything related to data science is really big right now in Spain. It's one of these research areas that is growing exponentially compared to in the past. So if you want to be part of the research that's going on here, it's a great, great award to look into. At Polytechnic University, which means that it's most of the programs are engineering programs. So the type of student is definitely very, the students who are interested in computer technology and all kinds of engineering subjects. And if we go into the next one. Okay, these are also new programs at the Universidad de Salamanca. The Universidad de Salamanca is the oldest university in Spain. It's an amazing, amazing university. And they have, their awards are in Global International Studies or International Relations and International Studies. This gives you the opportunity to live in a privileged area of Spain, a beautiful area. Yet you're very close to a big city like Madrid. It's a smaller town in terms of the way people relate to each other. So you have a small town community, and it'll give you a unique view of Spain. So I encourage you to look at that award too. And then these last two awards are in the Fama de Gran Canaria, which is, again, it's an island. If you look at the map of Spain, you'll see that it's they're closer to Africa, and yet there are ferries that take you to these islands from Spain. So these are words which are going to place you in an environment that's very unique. And again, this is a paradise for Europeans. They go to Las Palmas de Gran Canaria for vacation. So in terms of location, it's an amazing location and very interesting opportunities. Again, you see that tourism is something very, very popular because of the location of these awards. And marine science. Yes? And marine science, they're going to give you the opportunity to do hands-on research at the same time as you are teaching. So, interesting award. And I think I have some good idea. Thank you for your attention, and if you have any questions, I can answer them later.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Catherine. That is very useful information, and thank you for sharing also information about these amazing places and where they can also pursue professional experiences, but as well as, you know, the personal experience is going to be great if they decide to apply to these. So thank you again for your willingness to tell us more in depth about these particular awards. We discussed earlier, we are honored to have here with us Dr. Martha Garcia Murillo, who was a Fulbright Youth Scholar in Spain in 2016-2017. And Dr. Garcia Murillo, would you like to tell us a little bit more about your experience in Spain and how was the Fulbright program for you there? Thank you.
Yes. So I think that one of the things that you have to be to keep in mind is that, first of all, the length of time that you stay varies per award. So in my case, it was only 3 months. And if you're a scholar, you know that it's almost impossible to have a complete research design that will start and end in 3 months. So I was, knowing that I was going, immediately after I found out that I had received the award, my first task was basically to contact the researchers that I was going to be working with, and actually began my research process way ahead before I left. Now, before I get to that, I just want to mention one thing that I think answers one of the questions about how do you get to contact the university? How do you get the letter of reference? So in my case, I am fortunate that many of the conferences that I attend, so I am a political economist, so the conferences that I attend have attendance from many international scholars, and I have met several of the people that I eventually got in contact in Spain through those conferences. So for me, it was actually not difficult to find a host institution because I already had made contact with Spanish scholars through those international conferences. So if you're interested in going to Spain, I would recommend that you, if you're planning on going to a conference, see the list of attendees and see if you can find a scholar from Spain that can help you and that you can, that is already a person with whom you have something in interest, and then you can potentially find a colleague that can help you there to get the letter of invitation. So that's how I found my institution. That's how I found my colleagues to do research. So the other reason that I did, in my case, normally most people begin in the fall. I started my program, the Fulbright Scholar Program, in this case in Barcelona, in the winter. And the reason is because I wanted to have that time in the fall to work with my colleague, and we were doing survey instrument preparation. So by the time I got to Spain, my instruments were already, we have worked on some literature of UNAS. So when I got to Spain, all of that infrastructure was set in place. So we literally deployed the survey, and all I needed to do was to do all of the interviews that I needed to do. So that's what how I got to get my research head start before I got there. I mentioned here that developing trends was really interesting to me, and I found it, and I'm going to talk about both the trust element and taking some risk element together. The reason is because, first of all, I want to mention that people from Spain are extremely warm and welcoming. They have, this Latin culture that has this ability to connect with people, and so I was amazed how easy it was for me to contact the high-level researchers and government officials and members of the Senate to have interviews with me. And it was just by the way I did it in two ways. The first thing was first through my network, and then my network has friends who were economists. And they, in turn, introduced me to others, and they, in turn, introduced me to others. So a snowball kind of interview design I developed. And I just emailed them, and I will meet with them. And I was so surprised how willing they were able to talk to me, and I was able to talk to two senators. One I met him in Madrid, the other one I met him through Skype. And then those conversations, and as I said, they are so warm and so willing to help, that eventually I decided, okay, I want to have a workshop to kind of culminate my research here. You present me results, my results, and they can get to know each other. Some of them know each other because, of course, they're in the same area, but some of them didn't. So when I mentioned taking some risk, be willing to contact even senior government officials. So I was able to, as I said, I talked to two people from Partido Podemos from different comunidades autónomas, and then I also was able to meet the head of the work office in Catalonia, in Barcelona, where I was the scholar. But the other thing that was really interesting, as I said, taking risk, one of the things that I wanted to do is kind of culminate my stay with this little mini conference, and it was going to be 2 days. I wanted to mention that one of the things that I was able to do, I found that of a filmmaker who had produced a film about the topic that I was studying there, and I saw the film, and then I had set up an interview with him. He agreed to have the interview with me. And then I wanted to know if he wanted to also present the film at the university during the 2 days of the conference that I was having. But of course, I had to pay money, right? So money was always an issue for this little mini conference I wanted to end my stay with. And every time I had an interview, I would let them know, look, I'm interested in kind of bringing us all together to culminate and to present your research. And then you can all, meet each other, et cetera. And I was amazed at the reception that I got. I wanted to mention, too, that in February, the Fulbright Commission in Spain had its annual gathering in Burgos in the northern part of Spain. So I took advantage of that trip to then visit scholars in cities nearby. So I went to País Vasco, and I went to Bilbao, and I interviewed people there. And then I invited them to come to Barcelona, and they came on their own dime. And they were very enthusiastic to be there. And when I asked people, I want to do this workshop at the end, could you help me? And I got a professor to pay for the trip from a person who was coming from Scotland. The filmmaker decided to donate his film to the conference, without any payment. My phone institution provided a few refreshments. So it really, just asking, I don't think it really cost you anything. And the best part of having done that is that they got to know each other, and the fact that they got to know each other, they eventually decided to put a grant together. So I was very happy to be able to bring people that didn't know each other, and they eventually ended up providing a grant together for the European Commission, and of course that they are in waiting. So that was my experience. The research, of course, continued after I left, and I'm in contact with them also. In my case, I had a research and a teaching piece. I had to teach a course. In my case, it's information technology for development, because I'm a political economist and I look at issues of technology and development, the impact of technology. And in Spain, I was looking at specifically the impact of technology on employment. And I was lucky because in Spain, Spain has struggled with employment issues for many, many years. So it was the ideal place for me to get to know, what has been done there, what the scholars done, what government officials have done. So it was the ideal place for my research. The picture that you see there, there are scholars from many different disciplines. In the case of the colleagues that were in Spain with me, we had a pianist, we have a person who was a lawyer, we have a person who focused on material science, I'm a political economist, so you can see the variety of disciplines that were represented was quite diverse. And you shouldn't think that because you're going to Spain, you have to be doing Spanish-related fields only. So I was very fortunate to have gotten the award. I was very fortunate to find the colleagues that I found. And as I said, I was very fortunate to be able to get the support that I got from my host country, my host colleagues, and then in a way help them, which began, a collaboration between them and culminated in a grant with them. So that was very helpful. I'm going to leave it short just because in case you have questions, you will have time to ask them. Hopefully with that answer.
Thank you, Dr. Garcia Murillo. This is a very inspiring story, very great experience, and this is a typical example of a Fulbrighter being a cultural ambassador, in this case in Spain, and this is great that you establish connections, you continue the conversation. So this is something for also the current applicants to consider. As they propose the application for 2019-2020 application cycle. So let's move on here. So we already showed you the catalog of awards, and I'm going to skip this. But I wanted to also now, once you decide and you know which award you want to apply to, this is the next step, what you need to do. The application components are as following. The application form, and I showed you on the catalog of awards how to go to the application form. It connects directly from the award, and then it takes you to the EMBARC, which is the online application form. And then, first of all, you need to work on your project statement, which is from 3 to 2 pages long. That's the requirement. And here you would describe your activities and what you plan to do and why did you choose Spain and all the other important information goes here. Your curriculum vitae or resume tailored per the award requirements. So just try to fit in on what's required. Highlight those aspects of the CV that are required in the award description. We require 3 letters of references, so these are very important. So try to reach out to your colleagues or peers as early as possible because they will need to submit the letters of references online for you on your behalf. So this is not something that they would give back to you and then you submit. So basically you would send them the link and they would fill it out. Additional components, depending on the award, again, because we've seen some of the awards are just for teaching and some for research or both combined. So if you're applying for a teaching award, you need to submit a course outline or syllabi. And again, depending on the host institution requirements and need, to try to fit also per their needs. You can use the syllabi that you've used in the U.S., but again, to adjust them for the Spain institution needs. If you're applying for a research award, you need to provide us with a bibliography. A language proficiency report, again, depending on the award, there are some that you can just fill them out yourself or some that would require a professional or a language teacher. Letter of invitation. Again, this is very important, even though some awards say it's optional, it's not required, we still recommend that the applicants get the letter of invitation. That means you have established the connection with the host institution. They know you. They don't need to know you that well or in person, but at least they know of your intention and what you plan to do. And also their willingness to host you will be also described in the letter of invitation. If you're an art applicant or architect or applying for writing award or a journalist, you need to provide us with supplemental materials. So that means like for artists, they want to see your artwork, for architects the same, or writing samples for journalists. So this is something, you know, just to keep in mind as you move along the application process. Project statement, again, like we highlighted earlier, this is the opportunity for you to lay out the proposed project specifics and give as much detail as possible. Why did you choose to apply for Fulbright and why a particular Spain and why couldn't you do this research in another country or another organization? Maybe this research can be done in the U.S. So you just need to convince, to be convincing and just to lay out there why the reason why you chose this particular country or institution. And again, focus on what you plan to do. If you want to do teaching or research, just explain those in your project statement. What are the outcomes from the grant and, again, impact on hosts and home institution? What will your home institution benefit from this? Will this help your home institution become more international? Will help your campus become more international. And like Dr. Explained earlier that she invited Spanish scholars to come and visit her. So this is something like to have a vision for long-term as part of the Fulbright program. And another very important factor that the review commission considers is how adaptable are you? And how can you adjust to a different environment? And if, in case you don't speak the language, like how well will you adjust to that? Are you maybe planning to take language courses between now and the time you're planning to go? So this just shows, you know, how you also plan to connect with the local community if you're expressing the desire to learn the language now. So just consider all these factors, affiliation and invitations. So if the host institution is identified, it's usually under the location in the award description. When you don't have the host identified, there are all these resources to help you find the affiliation, like the international office on your campus. And just keep in mind that at least every campus should have a Fulbright liaison that works with Fulbright scholars during the application process. U.S. and visiting Fulbright Scholar Director that I showed you earlier, so there you will find not just U.S. scholars, but also international visiting scholars, as we call them. So maybe you'll find somebody from same week currently in the U.S. You can reach out to them for any help or guidance. So review award descriptions for suggested codes or resources, because many times you will find them there. A letter of invitation, again, is not a binding expression of interest from proposed hosts abroad. It's just, you know, an expression from the host institution that they will host you and they have an interest in hosting you. Should come from a person with whom you will be collaborating or a person who has the authority to invite you. Should be on host institution letterhead and can be just scanned and can be emailed to you. You don't need them to mail it to you, because we simply accept the scan in a letter of invitations, and then you can attach this on your application. How to submit a competitive application, address the big goal of the Fulbright to promote mutual understanding, and how well will you be a U.S. cultural ambassador? How are you going to represent the U.S. in Spain? Why are you interested in Spain? We emphasize this even earlier, your professional expertise and skills you can offer and benefit to the local institution and host country. So this will be an exchange of experience and knowledge on both sides. As much as you will learn from the professionals there, they will also learn from you. Just consider this, like cultural diplomacy, we covered that, and how adaptable you are. And what about the outcomes and what is the multiplier effect? So for your professional development, this is a great opportunity. You join a great network, but also like a personal benefit, because you will have a chance to, in some of the awards, it's like you can bring your dependents. So depends on where you want to go. It's going to be also personal enrichment. Like how you're going to enrich your home campus and, you know, if you're going to, again, invite collaborators to come and visit you. So this is great. Just think about all these things as you submit your application, and it will definitely help your application become more competitive. Here are some application resources. We have the website, which is CIES.org. And also you have the catalog of awards, and you can search for all the awards for the Spain. Just try to search for Spain, or you have the drop-down list of countries, and you'll find all the Spanish awards. Apply through the application. We have even application instruction from A to Z, the guidelines, project statements, guidance, and even samples. We provide previous project statements. So a lot of helpful resources for you there. You can learn about other opportunities if you're interested to apply in another country. We have also special webinars for other countries or other regions. And you can join the Fulbright Scholar blog, where you will find out about all what's happening in the Fulbright world. Connect, definitely. If you haven't done so, just register your interest at MyFulbright, or the website is CIES2.org, and then you can register, and then we'll send you updates about what's happening in the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program. The timeline in August is the deadline, as we said, August 1st. Once the deadline is over, then we start reviewing applications for technical completeness. If you are missing a letter of invitation or letter of reference or other documents, we reach out to scholars. But please try to reduce our work and also try to complete your application as much as possible just to avoid this double work. And then in September, a discipline-specific committee review, and then they review the application if each applicant applied to the right discipline. September through early November is the peer review committee. That means the previous Fulbrighters are going to discuss and review the application for every single geographical region and then make further recommendations or non-recommendations. So those that will be recommended will be notified throughout all these steps, and even those who are not recommended are notified. And then in November and January, during this time frame, applicants get notified if they have been recommended for further and final reviews, and then they're approved by the J. William Fulbright Foreign Scholarship Board. So this is the final step, and February and May, now is the time when the grants are approved for this year, 2018-2019. So this means this process for 2019-2020 is going to be next February and May. And May and June is when grant packets are sent to grantees and then they're ready to travel. So it's quite a complex process, is it? But it's all doable. And just, you know, be persistent. Again, join MyFulbright@cis2.org. Email us with any questions you have about staying at this email address, and we'll make sure to get a response within 24 hours. It's europeeurasia@iie.org. Visit our website, again, it's cis.org, to learn more about the Fulbright Scholar Program. You can even refer your colleagues. So like for now, if you know of somebody else who also would qualify, you definitely can send them the referral, and then you can definitely recommend them or refer them to apply. We are very active on social media. So you can follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter, and you'll learn all about the recent updates on the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, or the Fulbright Program in general. Now I would like us to take some questions, and we have a specific question. Thank you for submitting your great questions. So the specific question is, the research or teaching project preferred over a research alone project? So would you like to take this question, Catherine? Your experience working with institutions there, what is their preference?
Again, I think that you will definitely have to look at the individual awards to see if they're research and teaching. If they are research and teaching, it is because they'd like to have the experience of having you in the classroom, giving your unique perspective and different teaching approaches and styles from what they have in Spain. So yes, they do definitely value the teaching if it's mentioned on the in their award requirements. But there are awards that are for research.
Okay, great, thank you. And again, just to talk a little bit about the flex option, we have a question about that. How does that work? Like, that is an opportunity, and depends. Each award has it explained well if they offer this opportunity for this option to do a flex opportunity, because you can do this within 2 years, but at least you need to stay 1 month in the hosting country. Is that right, Catherine? And what is your experience if you want to add more to the flex option question?
Yes, and you can do it over 2 years. You'll have to look again at the awards, because there are certain awards that do not allow for the flex option. But when the flex option is a possibility, it generally is that you spend a month or 2 months and then come back, usually to continue research.
Okay, great. And then another question about the supplemental work. This, again, is only for the applicants who are applying to arts awards, architecture, or writing, or journalism. award. So for other awards, we do not require to have sample of publications. So, supplemental material. Another more specific question, so this is related to the theoretical and applied linguistics at Universitat de Murcia. Catherine, what is the percentage of teaching and research for this award? Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Sorry, I had switched off my microphone. I'm not exactly sure of the percentage. In fact, the percentage would vary according to the profile of the applicant. They specify that you will have 14 teaching hours between lectures and discussion per week, if that's helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I hope that's helpful. And definitely this is something probably they should discuss also with the host institution once they have established their contact, just to see, you know, what would be best and what is that in their best interest in this case.
Can I just add something, Matt? In the case of this award and all the awards, if you do not have contact with the university, we encourage you to contact the person listed on the webpage because they will put you in contact with the people that would be able to give you a letter of invitation if they're interested in your project.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. Another great question is, are these the only core awards available for 2019-2020? For example, this applicant is interested in a research or teaching, combined with teaching application in the area of water, environment, carbon cycle, climate change to the University of Granada. Is it something that they would welcome to work with this institution?
Now that would be a question of getting in contact with the University of Granada and presenting a proposal. In the case of the core awards, there will be a committee here in Spain that will evaluate all of the different proposals and choose based on a lot of different things. Whether the university looks like they're inviting. The strength of the invitation letter, for example, the opportunity for continued research or for continued collaboration with the university. Those are the kind of things that we've been looking at.
Wonderful, thank you. Another great question we have, for example, what happens once the Fulbrighter is selected and goes to Spain? How's the experience on that end? Do they immediately start working and teaching, or is this something that you would find out later on, depending on the award?
That would depend on the award. I really think that it would be great for Dr. Garcia to field this question. Maybe you can give some input in terms of your experience.
Yeah.
So in my case, you have to kind of understand that each university have their own academic calendar. So some of them some of them have courses that are very, very short. Some of them are, full semester long, and some of them are, quarters. So depending on the institution, that means your teaching responsibilities will start when they need you to start. The research is, of course, more fluid, so you can start whenever you want, whenever you're settled. And planning for settlement time is important because, of course, you have to, set up bank accounts and figure out transportation and where you're going to live, etc. So the research piece is a little bit more flexible. And as I said, in my case, I started it even before I left. And then when I got there, the first week is completely infrastructure, and then the teaching starts when the institution needs it to start.
Okay, wonderful. Another general question, what are the rules about working for a home institution remotely while on a Fulbright Scholar program? Can they do that based on your experience, Dr. Marta? What is your experience on, like, could you also do some work while you were in Spain for your home institution?
I wouldn't recommend that you do it because the amount of time that you have in the host country is, in my case, it was short. So I really wanted to focus all of my energy in working on the research that I was intended to do there. However, I couldn't completely avoid it because I wanted to be part of the committee that selected our PhD students. So I will participate in the meetings remotely when they have meetings about the PhD student selection for the following year. So you cannot fully get out of working for your institution when you need when you care about some particular activity. But for the most part, I think that it would be better to be completely immersed with your host country, your colleagues. And in my case, I also try to get involved with people outside of my academic community through meetups, which is a fantastic tool to get to know people in Spain.
Thank you. Plus, there is the time difference, which I assume, you know, with, like, Spain is 6 hours ahead, 5 hours ahead of the U.S., depending where in the U.S., and it would be like working in the afternoon until the evening, but definitely not recommended, right? So another quick question we have, if the amount covered says it includes all this stipend, housing, and living expenses, does that mean that there is no extra funding for rent, for instance? Kathleen, would you like to take that?
Yeah, the amount specified includes the amount that includes rent. So no, there's no additional amount for rent. Although, unless it specifies housing or additional housing or something in the actual award description.
Thank you. And also we'll take one more question, and for any other question, we'll go back to them, and if we haven't answered them, we'll get back to you in a personalized email. But the last question is, can a participant apply for more than one award in different universities? So you can apply to only one award in one country. You cannot apply to more than one award in a country or any other country. So just try to do your background work and research and just make the final decision where you want to apply to, and then just apply to that one. You're not allowed to apply to two awards per year for a competition cycle. So I would like to thank you. I would like to thank Kathleen and Dr. Amata for joining us, for spending time with us and answering these great questions, and for your dedication to the Fulbright program. And also I would like to thank the audience for such great questions and interest in the Fulbright program. We'll follow up with you. We'll have this webinar also archived on our website, and you can listen to it later or share it with other colleagues who couldn't attend us live today. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful rest of the day and wonderful evening for you, Kathleen. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.